Well, listeners, you're on day two of our adventure article for the month of January, and we are so glad if you were here with us yesterday that you returned for day two. We had an exciting time talking about a surf camp that is helping children with autistic symptoms, and it's been very, very good learning how this Surfers Healing Camp is operated and even how it came to be in the past. Well, I'm very lucky today because I have two great panelists that decided to come back for day two of this article. And so to my left I have...
David here. Very glad to be back.
Thanks, David. And what was something yesterday that you learned or was an insight that you could share with our listeners?
Yeah, we learned how the Surfers Healing Camp came to be, and it was because of Izzy Paskowitz and his wife. They found out that their child benefited and was calmed by the waves, and they wanted to help out other parents with their autism kids as well. So they founded Surfers Healing Surf Camp.
It's quite interesting that it happened through an accident,
yes.
Really. And so now we have this Surfers Camp, and we're very thankful for that. I'm sure many other parents are thankful for that too. Well, to my right, I also have the lovely...
Well, Pauline, lovely or not, I'm here today and really happy to be here. I left yesterday just feeling so warm and fuzzy. We say just like happy. It was just good to hear about so many people, right? Just at one camp that there was so many people. I said a small army of volunteers, 150 kids went, so I'm guessing it probably took at least 150 volunteers to help with that, and just for one camp, and they do 25 camps around the world. And I just think it's beautiful that there's so many people coming together to help these kids and families that are battling some difficult disabilities and doing it in a really sweet, caring, fun way.
Yeah, it's a beautiful camp that's made available to these parents and to the children. And just to think that a lot of, even the professional surfers that are joining this camp, for example, we learned yesterday that Mark Graham himself is a professional surfer, but his son, his 11-year-old son, has also got autism. So I liked how we learned yesterday that he's seen firsthand how children immediately transform when they're rolling in the ocean waves. And I think that just must be such a joy as a parent. You know, Pauline, you mentioned yesterday some of the difficulties in behavior that autistic children need to deal with, and you know, just being able to see them transform when they encounter the waves just means such a joy for their parents, you know. And so there was a lot that we learned yesterday that we will continue on in today's lesson. But before we do that,
I was just going to say one other thing I really appreciated. I forgot to highlight it yesterday, was just that, you know, the professional surfers that are there, sounds like they are volunteers as well. So these are people who would normally receive very large pay for an individual lesson. And they are giving that up as well. They're highly sought after professionals who can charge a lot of money and can pick and choose who they take on as students. And yet they are voluntarily choosing to take on difficult kids who are in a rough situation and doing it for free just to care for those kids and those families. I think it's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And the name of the camp itself, actually, Surfers Healing Camp, I think does a good job of incorporating, you know, the surfers themselves, these professional surfers that are volunteering, and also healing, the healing power of water. And we're actually going to learn a little bit more about the healing power of water and what it does for these kids with autism. So join us now, listeners, as we look and go into our first reading for today on page 37 at the top of line 1 in column 1. It says, "From chaos to peace."
From chaos to peace. Paskowitz said the ocean has a healing power on people with autism. The rhythm of the waves calms them, and the sounds, sights, textures, and temperatures creates such a sensory overload that it forces the mind to focus. Many of the children arriving at the beach initially covered their ears from the crash of the waves, but gradually these sensitivities disappeared. Tearing down walls. Daniel Fontanez, 20, of New Orleans, clearly relished the multi-sensory experience of surfing on this day. Accompanied by a volunteer, the young autistic man enthusiastically jumped up and down in the waves, licked the seawater off his hands, and confidently rolled a bodyboard on his knees. His father, Danny, said his son has a processing disorder that sharply limits communication skills. But when the family travels each year to attend the camp in La Jolla, Daniel suddenly becomes verbal.
All right, listeners, we are talking about our adventure article for January and how surfers are just giving their time to be part of the Surfers Healing Camp. This allows children with autism to enjoy the water. And we found out yesterday that just accidentally, one couple, they found out that their son was calmed by the water. Now, their names were Izzy and Danielle Paskowitz. And we learn in this paragraph, this first paragraph, Paskowitz said the ocean has a healing power on people with autism. Now, what does it say in the following sentence, David?
That the rhythm of the waves calms them, and the sound and the sight and texture, like Pauline was saying about sensory, these autism children rely very heavily on things that they feel and hear and touch and smell. And so the wave brings all these in all together. And so it really helps these autism children.
Right. Look at this. The sounds, the sights, the textures, the temperature. It says it creates such a sensory overload that it forces the mind to focus. Have you heard of this before, Pauline?
I don't know if I've heard. Usually you don't think of sensory overload as making you focus, right? Usually if we talk about being overloaded by input, we're talking about kind of being a little crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like we're feeling like distracted by a million, like so many things coming at us. But I think maybe the idea here is that it's all coming from one place though, right?
Mm.
So if you are in a really busy street, for example, and there's all these noises from horns and people, and let's say you're getting jostled, so people are running into you and you're trying to get out of the way, and maybe it's raining. So in an example like that, your mind's going all these different directions, right? You're paying attention to signs and sounds and things on the street and things up in the sky, and your attention's going all these different directions and overwhelmed in probably not a positive way. However, in this situation, all of these sensory items, the sounds, sights, textures, temperatures, are all focused on one thing. It has to do with the water, right? So in a sense, it is focusing because it's all coming from one place and everything else kind of fades away, right? Their only sensory experience, although they're experiencing a lot of senses within it, it's all coming from one place, the water. So I can see where that would be very calming for autistic kids who are very responsive and highly affected by the sensory input they receive.
Well, it's interesting to see that many of these children arrive at the beach, they initially cover their ears. Initially means at the beginning. So when they first arrived at the beginning, they covered their ears from the crash of the waves. So from the sound, perhaps they found the sound too loud. Well, that was an overload for them. But gradually, these sensitivities disappeared. And I think you were mentioning perhaps earlier that there might be some children that come to the beach and not enjoy this experience at all, right?
Right. Again, every kid is different and every autistic kid is different. So some of them are going to take those sensory experiences indifferently and really not enjoy it. They might find the feel of the sand really gritty and difficult to get past. It doesn't surprise me that they say later on or maybe both later on and before, that sometimes they have a hard time getting the kids into the water. And it doesn't surprise me either that the crash of the waves is a lot for them, that at the very first moment, that initial experience of it is quite overwhelming, right? And they're having, at that point, one of those experiences where they're getting a lot of different sensory inputs from a lot of different directions, right? So they might be feeling the sand, hearing the crash of the waves, they're still getting, you know, there's still the cars and the traffic behind them, there's all this stuff happening, they're not in the water yet having that experience of everything else kind of fading away. So I'm sure it can be a difficult initial impact for them. But we'll keep reading. But I think for many of them, once they get in the water, it changes.
And that's great to see. Well, yesterday we learned that these surfer healing camps are done for children ranging in the age of 3 to 20. And in this next paragraph, we meet an older student, Daniel Fontanez. He's 20. He comes from New Orleans. He was clearly relishing, it says, he clearly relished the multi-sensory experience of surfing on this day. Now, relished is one of our vocabulary focus words. It means to like or to really enjoy something. Okay, so maybe you relish the idea of being able to go to the beach or to take a vacation. Well, here he relished the multi-sensory experience, because we learned that it includes sounds, sights, textures, and temperatures of surfing. He was accompanied by a volunteer. And what was he doing? How do we know he relished this experience, Pauline?
I just love this. It says that the man enthusiastically jumped up and down in the waves, licked the salt water off his hands, and confidently rode a bodyboard on his knees. A bodyboard, by the way, pretty sure is just a synonym, is another word for the boogie board we were talking about yesterday. But I was going to say, this is one of my favorite thing about working with developmentally disabled youth, children to adults, is that frequently they have a capacity for experiencing joy that very few adults do. There's still something so childlike about them. Even at 20 years old, you see that childlike, just absolute pure delight in this moment that's unrestrained, right? And I think we as adults tend to have a little more restraint, right? Even if we really relish something, we relish it in a more
quiet
way, not quite to that degree of enthusiasm. And that's just so lovely to read about, let alone see in real life.
And I think it's interesting in this next part, David, we learn from his father, Danny, some of the benefits that his experience in the water has had on him.
Yes, we see that before he went into the water, he has a disorder that limits his communication skills. And Daniel's father says that after his, every time they go to the ocean, Daniel suddenly becomes verbal, he talks more. And I think just reading about this, I can feel the happiness of his father.
Yeah, that is definitely one of those small victories we were talking about yesterday, right? Although actually, I would say that's not a small victory. That's pretty powerful. That's an amazing moment for that family to see this, you know, this 20-year-old son of theirs that they've obviously spent a lot of years loving on and caring for, and to have a moment where they're able to really communicate with each other in a, at a greater degree. I mean, I just think that must be such a beautiful thing for them.
Right. Wow. Well, so we're seeing the healing power of the water at work. Well, let's learn a little bit more about the power of water as we go on to our next reading for today.
The power of respect. Carrie, whose son Ben has been known to spend up to 3 hours surfing the waves, describes Paskovitz as the surf whisperer because of the patience and kindness he shows each child. The main thing is he treats them with respect, Carrie said. They deserve no less. With autism, there are good days and bad days. Some campers shouted with glee as they rowed into shore standing on the board with a surfer, while others couldn't be lured into the water at all. Making a difference one by one. One teen camper who traveled with her mom from Arizona wouldn't get out of the car for more than an hour. Finally, she was coaxed to take a brief 10-minute ride in the knee-high waves on a bodyboard. As she returned to shore, a volunteer awarded her a small trophy for participation. Volunteers Veda Mosley and Andy Perez said, helping out at Surfers Healing is their favorite day of the year. The parents are so grateful and the children are so excited, Perez said. It puts a smile on everyone's face.
All right, listeners, well, we have been getting on in our advanced adventure article for the month of January. And as we've been learning about the Surfers Healing Camp, we've been learning about why and how the water is a calming or has a calming effect on children with autism. We've learned that just having these sounds, sights, and textures and temperature create a sensory overload. And we've seen different examples of that. And now we're going to learn a little bit more about why this camp has been so effective.
Pauline. Right. I do really like this because, of course, the water seems to play a really important role in this, but the people are key as well. If you had impatient, frustrated adults trying to work with these kids, that probably would negate the positive effects of the water. Our, you know, what we bring to interactions really makes or break the breaks it a lot of the times, especially with kids like this. So it's just really sweet to see that Carrie, one of the parents, acknowledges that the people that are doing this, that are putting it on, who are volunteering, are showing so much patience and kindness and being an example of that calm demeanor that they want to bring to those kids, that they want to bring calmness and a positive experience to them.
Right, and it's allowing these kids to want to be in the water for up to 3 hours. You know, William Carey, his son, Ben, is in the water or has been known to spend up to 3 hours surfing in the waves. Now, we learn a word here, the surf whisperer. You know, we've heard of this before. I don't know, there was a famous movie, I think in the 90s, called The Horse Whisperer. You know, it was talking about a person who has a skill to be able to either calm or be able to use that skill to really benefit a person. Here it's surfing, right? And so he's able to show, like you said, Pauline, kindness and patience for each child he encounters. What does Carey go on to say, David?
Carey says the main thing is he treats them with respect. They deserve no less. And here he means Paskowitz. Carey says Paskowitz treats these children with respect. And this reminds me of like when I went to learn how to dive. And the trainer wasn't really a friendly person. He had a temper. And so it like that day wouldn't be very nice for me because I was scared that I would do something wrong. And if he had respected me and was nice and calm about things and relaxed, then I might have learned even more. So by treating these children with respect and telling them that they deserve no less, then these children can actually experience to the fullest.
That's great. Yeah, that brings that whole idea of treating people well, you will get a good response back. If you don't treat people well, you won't get a good response back, right? And I love how he says they deserve no less. And I think, Pauline, your encounters with them, I'm sure, have shown you time and time again, they deserve no less.
Absolutely. I think it's always a good thing to be reminded that whatever people are struggling with, whether it's a disability, a developmental disability, poverty, whatever their situation may be that makes them difficult maybe to interact with, that doesn't mean that that somehow allows us to be disrespectful, impatient, or rude, right? That everyone has different life issues that they're struggling through, and the more respect and patience and kindness that we can bring to those people, the better hope that they have of growing through those. And hopefully when we have our moments where we're struggling to learn something new or whatever our issues are in life that are not bringing out the best in us, hopefully we will have people around us who give us a similar grace.
Right, exactly. And because we also learn with autism, there are good days and there are bad days. We learn even at camp, You know, some campers, they shouted with glee. Glee meaning they're really, really happy as they rowed into shore standing on the board with the surfer. I mean, that is an achievement on its own.
That is, that is.
And while others couldn't be lured, couldn't be tempted to come into the water at all.
Right. So even the very best of the best, right? Even these super professional surfers who are very accustomed to, you know, people who are maybe afraid of the water, getting them into a good space for it, people who are very kind and patient and understand these kids. Everybody has the right intentions, right? Mm-hmm. We have all these good things coming together, but that still doesn't guarantee 100%, you know, quote unquote, success for every single child. Right. Some kids do have hard days, and that's where it's extra important that you have people who are kind and patient and will allow that to be and hope that maybe the next time the parents will bring them and they'll get a little bit closer to the water. Maybe they'll at least go and go out and get their toes in the water. And, you know, it's a process. And I'm glad to see that they're honest about that so that, you know, parents out there who are struggling maybe with disabilities in their homes, well, can hear that too. There's no one treatment that's going to be 100% magical cure for every kid. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but they seem to have a pretty good attitude about it, right? They're doing their best with every kid, giving them the best experience they can, and then letting them set the limits for what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do. And I like that they're not literally throwing any kid into the water,
right?
They're not forcing anyone in. They're giving them plenty of opportunities to succeed, trying to lure them in, trying to tempt them in, but there's no forcing past what they feel safe with.
And just in light of what you're saying, that's why the next paragraph is called Making a Difference, One by One. And actually, this is talking about an experience of one teen camper. She traveled with her mom from Arizona. Now, I'm not sure of the distance between Arizona to San Diego. Is that quite far?
I think it is. California is pretty... It's a really long state, but San Diego is more towards the south where Arizona is. So it would depend on what part of Arizona they were in, but I mean, at least a few hours, if not more, by car. So they definitely made a real intentional long trip to make this thing happen.
Okay. And so they got to where the camp is, and the teen camper wouldn't get out of the car for more than an hour. And then we learned that she was finally coaxed to take a brief 10-minute ride. When we say coax, David, what do we mean? What does the word to coax mean?
Well, we usually say to persuade someone gently or being kind and patient, and that goes back to the same idea of being respected, like they'd respect these children, and if they don't want to come out, then it's fine. We can wait, and slowly they will gain the respect of the surfers, yeah.
Right, right. So she was finally coaxed to take a brief 10-minute ride in the knee-high waves on a bodyboard. We talked about that bodyboard, boogie board. There's different names for it, but of course that's the one where you don't necessarily have to be standing on it, right? You can just lie on it. And what happened as she returned to shore, Pauline?
I love this. So again, they are really taking on that philosophy of celebrating small victories, right? So she wasn't out there for 3 hours like another kid that we heard about. She maybe didn't get quite out to the thigh-high waves, but the volunteers aren't going to say, no, you have to do this much in order for us to give you a trophy. No, they immediately celebrate. They acknowledge that it took a lot of courage and flexibility for this girl. Mm. Or I don't know if it was a girl or a boy. Oh, she returned to shore. Mm. Yes, okay, I was right. So they acknowledged her moment of victory with a trophy. And I think that's just so sweet. And that girl got to take that home with her and remember that, you know, she did it even after maybe being scared or not wanting to do it, that she went out there and took that on. And another just so many beautiful moments in this story.
Yeah, and not only are the surfers having a great time, and not only are the students having a great time or experiencing different things, we learn from the volunteers as well that they also love this event.
That's right. We can see there's Veda and Andy, and they say that they see how the autism children are happy and how their parents are happy, and it makes them very happy.
Yeah, I love how it says it puts a smile on everyone's face. And I was thinking, oh, man, that's such, just reading about this is putting a smile on my face. I'm sure it must be just amazing to not only witness that in person, but to know as a volunteer that you're a part of helping create that moment for so many people, right? Mm-hmm. I think you'd be smiling for days.
Right. The fact that it's their favorite day of the year, you know, that really speaks volumes about this camp. And I love the fact that there is a lot of joy going on in this place. You know, little victories are being celebrated. And so, learners, we want to leave you today to just think about, are you learning to appreciate the small victories in your life? After hearing today's story and just the different difficulties that these students have overcome just through experiencing the water, I think we too can learn to appreciate the small victories we have in our life and maybe even appreciate the water a bit more. You can. We would love to hear any feedback that you want to share from today's article. Perhaps there are small victories that you have overcome. We would love to hear from you too. You can write into our email or our Facebook. Just make sure you check us out there. And also you can check out our QR codes on the top of page 36. And just to finish for today,
well, I would love to hear about any of your experiences surfing. And if there's any unique therapies that you found for yourself or for your children that have really helped you move through difficult times, that have calmed you and brought new joy into your life.
So make sure you write into us, and we thank you for joining us on our adventure, learning about the Surfers Healing Camp this month in the month of January. This is Amanda,
David,
and Pauline
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.